Welcome to Timeless Truths. Timeless Truths is a ministry of the Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario, and features the preaching and teaching of Pastor Jerry Burns. Our prayer, as always, is that this program will be a blessing to you and that you will find God's hope and help for your life. So join us now as we discover God in His timeless truths.
I was visiting a church as a teenager, and this man said that his job in the local church was to keep the pastor humble. Last time I checked, that was God's job. Sometimes God used the devil, so I don't know. Maybe that is true. But the reality is that Paul was a humble man, and Paul says he was appointed by God to be an apostle. The apostleship ministry is not, we have no apostles today. They were eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ. But we know from the Bible that Paul had a divine call, and this call was to preach the gospel to every creature. And Paul had a great hope. It was a blessed hope, a purifying hope, and a comforting hope. And then we see the recipient of the letter was Timotheus, or Timotheus, oftentimes used in the Word of God. His name means the one who honors God, and he was Paul's son in the faith. Timothy was genuine. He was real, and God used him in a wonderful way. He had unfeigned faith, the Bible teaches us, and so Paul greets him with a triune greeting. It's by the grace of God and the mercy of God and the peace of God. And right away, when we jump into 1 Timothy, Paul doesn't take much time by really getting into the meat of the situation, and that is a charge to Timothy, to charge him, first of all, to stay at Ephesus and to minister there and to stand up against false teachers that were in this church. And so right away, he quickly begins with this course in pastoral theology. And he's really beseeching or begging Timothy to stay and to stand up against these false teachers. We looked at the purity of doctrine. He told Timothy not to give heed to fables. These are unfounded stories that mean nothing and have really no truth in them. And even if they were true, they really wouldn't benefit your life any. And then he says these endless genealogies. Also, stay away from those endless genealogies. These were the records kept by the Jews, and they were carefully preserved. But they had no point in this time, in the age of grace, to bring us nearer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul made it clear to be careful of those who minister questions and not direct us to godly living. Don't follow people that generate doubts, but follow people that build our Christian life. And so we looked at the purpose of doctrine. So not only the purity of doctrine, we also looked at the purpose of doctrine in verse 5, and the purpose of doctrine was in love. Now the end of the commandment is charity. So why do you stand against these false teachers, Timothy? It is because of love. It is our love for God. It is our love for the truth. It is the love for the local church. Doctrine does cause division. Jesus taught that. But our purpose is not to divide. Our purpose is so people would grow in the truth, and that they would grow in their relationship with God. And the importance of taking a stand against false teachers is that it's done with a pure heart, he writes here, with a good conscience, and with faith unfeigned. And that's where we ended last Wednesday in our message. And so we're going to jump right into it and continue on. So there's the purity of doctrine that he mentions. There's the purpose of doctrine in love or charity. But then also there's the perversion of doctrine. Now notice what the Bible says in verse number 6. The Bible says, from which some have swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring, verse 7, to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. So first of all, we notice right away that these individuals have swerved from the truth. They have swerved from the truth of the Word of God. And instead of the truth, we see that they have swerved onto vain jangling. Now, vain jangling means empty talk. It means empty discourses. So they swerve from truth, but you have to also realize what they swerved onto. They left the truth and they swerved onto vain jangling. So you need to understand what Paul is saying here. They left the fountain of living water. They left the greatest message in all the world. They left the power of the gospel, and they swerved to something that is vain and meaningless, something that doesn't benefit you at all. That's what the thought of this passage of scripture is. Really, the thought there of vain jangling means it's meaningless. It's empty. There's no substance to it at all. And so what happens is they have missed the obvious, and they have turned away from their walk with God. We could say it this way. They major on minors. They major on minors. Their focus on things that do not matter. This was their focus. And this is what Paul is warning Timothy about. Timothy, don't get lost in this stuff. Don't focus. Don't major your life on the minors that doesn't matter. You miss the obvious, and that is your most important relationship, and that's your relationship with God. Now, notice verse 7, we dig deeper into these individuals' lives. Now, it says that they have swerved from turning aside unto vain jangling, but verse 7, it says that they desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. So, the Bible says that they have a desire to teach, but the problem is they don't understand what they're teaching. And this is a sad reality. The Bible says not only don't they understand what they teach, but also whereof they affirm. The word there affirm means to state as a fact. All right? So not only are these individuals turned away onto empty talk, but also they desire to be a teacher of the law. The problem is they don't understand what they say, and they're not understanding what they state as fact. This is written in stone. This is what God said. This is how you live your life. This is what you do. The problem is they don't understand what they are teaching, and this is dangerous. In fact, the Bible makes it clear here that instead of presenting the truth, they pervert the law. So instead of helping and benefiting someone, what they are actually doing is harming. Now, look what the Bible says in verse number 8. Now, Paul here makes this statement, and it's very important because they desire to be a teacher of the law, but they don't understand the law. They don't understand the purpose of the law. And Paul makes it very clear, verse 8, that the law is good, but it has to be used lawfully, or the law is good if it is used in its intended purpose. So the question we have to ask is, what is the purpose of the law? Now remember, these were legalists. They were adding the law to eternal life. They were saying, you know, it's about Christ, but also you have to do these things in the law. And here the Bible makes it clear they desire to teach these things, but they don't understand the law. They don't understand what they're affirming, what they're stating as fact. And so what does the Bible say is the purpose of the law? Now let's listen. This is important because a lot of people get this confused. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and the 19th verse together. Romans chapter 3. And verse 19. Romans chapter 3. I need to get my fingers to move faster. Romans 3 and verse 19. So here's what the Bible says. The purpose of the law. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. So here the Bible says that the law is written to those who are under the law, and the purpose of the law is to show that all humanity is guilty before God. In other words, no one has an excuse. We have all broken the law of God. So if you're in the habit of writing things down, I encourage you to write this thought down. This will help us as you talk to people as well. The purpose of the law is to turn man to Christ for righteousness. The purpose of the law is to turn man or humanity to Christ for righteousness. Now, Romans chapter 10 makes this very clear. Romans chapter 10, this is the Apostle Paul talking about his countrymen, talking about the Jews. He said this in verse 1. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Sometimes you talk to people and they'll make statements about people saying, well, they're zealous and they're passionate. But the reality is that being zealous or passionate about that which is false is not going to benefit your life any. And the Bible says of the Apostle Paul, speaking of his kinsmen, his fellow people, he says, hey, they have a zeal for God. They have a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. They're heading quickly in the wrong direction. They're zealous, but they're heading in the wrong direction, he says. Now notice what he says, verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, or how God will make an individual righteous. So they are ignorant of God's righteousness, and they're going about to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. In other words, if you want to follow the law to gain eternal life, then you would have to finish, you would have to follow the law perfectly in every way. The Bible even tells us in the book of James that if you've broken the law in one point, you are guilty of all of the law. You've transgressed against God. You're a lawbreaker, and you are guilty. The reality is there's not a person on this earth that loves God with all their soul, their mind, and their might. We have all broken the law of God, and then to love our neighbor as ourself. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? The reality is that we are all guilty before God. And the Bible teaches us that the law is to turn man to the righteousness that is found in Jesus Christ, because we have to admit, listen, if it's about keeping the law, we're going to fall short every single time. And what a burden it would be. What a burden it would be to try to keep God's law perfectly every single time. Now, the Bible says that Jesus Christ did not come to destroy the law. He came to complete it. He came to fulfill it. Why? Because the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. I love that old English word, schoolmaster. A schoolmaster is a teacher. It's a tutor. And the Bible says that the law teaches us that we cannot save ourselves, that we are guilty before God. In fact, the Apostle Paul put it this way in the book of Romans. He said it was the law that taught him the knowledge of sin. So we know that we should not covet. We know that that covetousness is wrong, because the Bible says thou shalt not covet it. It's God's standard, and we understand I've broken God's law. I'm guilty before God, and therefore I need a savior. Now these false teachers that Paul is referring to in 1 Timothy, they were adding the law to eternal life. And by the way, that's called legalism. Legalism is when you add things in order to benefit or gain eternal life. And so the Bible teaches us that all of us have a sin problem. Now, let's look back at our text, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 8 of our text. So look what the Bible says in verse 8, chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. Here Paul continues this very thought as we consider the law and the purpose of the law. Now remember the thought here, the law is good if it's used lawfully, if it's used for its intended purpose. And so he says for us in verse number 9, knowing this, knowing what? That the law is good, that the law has a purpose. God made the law for a specific purpose. So knowing this, verse 9, that the law is not made for a righteous man would be one who is born again. It's a saved man. It's an individual that is not under the law, but under the law of grace, as is stated, or the law of faith. And so the Bible says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. But look at this, for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be anything, other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So really, Paul didn't leave anything out. Paul is saying the purpose of the law is, first of all, for those who are lawless. Now, the thought there to be lawless is to be those who have no law. And generically, it's speaking about the wicked. It's speaking of those who don't want to be under God's authority, those who live their life their own way. It generically is speaking of the wicked, the lawless, those who have no law. And then the disobedient are those who are not under God's authority, who will not obey. The ungodly are those who do not worship God. Sinners is simple. It talks about those who have missed the mark. That's the idea of sin, to miss the mark. They have sinned against God. The Bible says they have all come short of the glory of God. And then the unholy are those who don't regard their responsibility before God and man. Profane are scoffers. The Bible says in the last days, there'll be scoffers, those who will scoff at the truth. And so someone who is profane, they are one who scoffs at the truth, and they mock God and they mock the word of God. And then this is very interesting. The Bible says a murderer of father. It's interesting that thought there, the parricide, or really the thought there, the murderer of a parent, forbidden under the law of Moses. It's also interesting as you study that word and that idea, it's interesting to note that the Romans thought it wasn't possible. In fact, they did not have a law against it because they thought it was impossible for a child to take the life of a parent. And so really what this is, the thought is that it is the crime of the highest order. In fact, even worse, a murderer of a mother, the Romans would consider this a monstrous crime. Again, they didn't even have a law against it because they didn't think it was possible that a child would take the life of their mother. They considered this unthinkable. And then he talks about whoremongers and those that defile themselves with mankind, sodomites, men stealers, that the idea is to steal someone and for the purpose of making them a slave. Liars, perjured persons, are liars under oath. They are ones that injure and harm and hurt the testimony of other people. And then the Bible just makes a generic thought here. And any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, anything that is against the law, anything that is against the teaching of Christ, this is what the law is meant for. So the law is not for a righteous man. Now, what is it talking about? Why does the Bible say that the law is not for a righteous man? Well, first of all, if you are under the law of faith or the law of grace, then you are positionally above the law. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't follow the law. It just means that you are under a different law. In other words, the law doesn't make you holy. The Lord makes you holy. That's a wonderful thing. You are declared righteous in the sight of God. But the Bible teaches us that we are now under not the law, but the law of love. So I want you to go to Romans chapter 13, and I want you to think about the law of love, what the Bible is teaching us, the law of love. So we are under, as Christians, under the law of faith. We know Christ is our Savior. We are not depending on the law to make us holy, but we are trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we are under the law of love. Now look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 13. It's an interesting statement, the 13th chapter. And let's look, if we could, in verse number 8. Romans chapter 13, verse number 8. The Bible says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, which is the law of God, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so there's no longer the burden of the law, but now an individual is not responding to the law because this is what we have to do, but under the law of grace and the law of love, this is what we get to do. We get to, through the love of Christ in our hearts, love our neighbor and help our neighbor. And so the Bible says here in this passage of scripture, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, verse 9, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Basically, it's the law, but we see the motivation is different in the life of a Christian. It all derives from the law of love. This is what Christ has done for us. We want to honor him. We want to glorify him. It is the love of Christ that shines through. And so the Bible teaches us that the law of God is fulfilled in love as Christ lives and loves through us. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And so here we find the passage of scripture teaches us, first of all, that the law of God is not for a righteous man. We're under a different law. We're under the law of love and Christ in us, the hope of glory, the Bible teaches us. But the Bible does teach us in this passage of scripture that the law is for these individuals who are under the law, and therefore the law declares their inability to save themselves.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in his timeless truths.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns, and again, I want to thank you for tuning into our program this Lord's Day. Our society is in a crisis. The Bible teaches us that it is God's word that will make a difference in our lives. And yet our churches today have turned away from the Bible. The Bible has been replaced with entertainment, and we have left, thus saith the Lord. I want to invite you to a church that still preaches the Bible. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we'll have a time of singing, and then we'll open the Word of God, and we'll see what God is thinking about. We'll see what God cares about. We'll see what God has to say to us. I hope you'll join us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. God bless you.